Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'll be your host. Today, I have an awesome woman on the show. She's got a cool coaching business, an awesome background, and I'm excited to have her on. I was recently on her show and excited to have her on my show to share with you all today. So, Davina Frederick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm so happy to be here. We had such a wonderful conversation on the Wealthy Woman Lawyer podcast that I'm glad that we can continue chatting for a while.
Yeah, we did. And our conversation was unique and probably off of what you even expected, and which is like my favorite. So we just kind of went on some tangents and had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. So, it was great. I loved it.
So Davina's actually in Colorado, but she's from Florida. She'll talk about that in just a second. But she's new to Colorado, I guess, if you will. But before we get started, I like to always tell people to go check her out, check out her website. You can go to wealthywomanlawyer.com. That's wealthywomanlawyer.com. If you're listening, pretty straightforward. So Davina, tell us your background so our audience here kind of understands where you've been. What we really want to dig in today is what you're up to now and how you help.
Right. So I am an attorney. I started my own law firm out of law school, but law was the second career for me. Before I became a lawyer, I worked in marketing for about 15 years as a professional copywriter and professional services marketer for law firms and engineering firms and an ad agency. And then I got an opportunity to go to law school. I graduated law school. I was in my early 40s when I graduated law school. So law was a second career for me. I've been an attorney now for almost 18 years. And I opened my own law firm right out of law school because that was kind of why I went to law school, was to have my own business. I had an entrepreneurial sort of mindset and spirit and wanted to start my own business. And so I went, I did it the hard way. Instead of just starting a business, I went to law school and then started a law firm. And boy, it was a challenge. I grew my own law firm successfully, but I wound up being kind of unhappy after I sort of grew my law firm and we were making good money and I had brought in a partner and we were hiring people, and something just wasn't what I thought it would be. And I was feeling really overworked and overwhelmed and a little bit on the edge of burnout after not, you know, doing it for very long, just a few years. And I said, I need to take a step back from this and figure out what this is. Is it my partnership? Is it the way I'm running this business? I was the managing partner and a litigator and a therapist for my clients and my employees and the administrator. And I just felt like I was wearing so many hats and I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. So I left that partnership and I took a little bit of time off. My husband and I owned a high performance fitness training facility, and I worked in that for a while. And then I got back into starting another practice. And this one was virtual, and it was virtual before virtual was a thing. This was way back in 2011. And by virtual, I mean phone and email. This is how I ran my practice. And I got hooked up in a coaching program through another attorney mentor of mine, and really learned a lot of sort of the missing pieces of owning and operating a business that I didn't have before, some sort of new information. And I fell in love with coaching so much that I decided that it was something that I wanted to pursue. And so I was operating my law firm and I started the coaching business. And when I started out, I was working with professional service providers because that had been my background. And I had experience in business law, and I kind of combined the marketing business law aspect and really very quickly became a law firm growth strategist. And because so many of my clients were other women law firm owners who wanted to know how I had done it, so they were reaching out to me. And so I began to sort of narrow my focus to women law firm owners pretty quickly and really helping them develop strategies to scale their business in a way where they could make the kind of money they wanted to make, that elusive seven figures or more, and do it without burning out. So that's kind of that's about as quick as I can do that story, Kevin. Sorry.
No, that's great. Yeah, interesting story, you know, kind of how you took that path and step back. I think you know, that's a hard thing to do and to actually do that.
Right.
And then come back into it once you feel like you got it figured out. I think most of us just go and never take that. Or maybe we just implode or get divorced or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that you did pull back and had that time is interesting. And
yeah.
So you, in a nutshell, you help women lawyers.
I help women law firm owners scale their law firm businesses from 6 to 7 figures, multi 7 figures, and really do it in a way that not only helps them fund the kind of lifestyle that they want, but also have the time to enjoy it. And I think where a lot of law firm owners, particularly I find with women, get stuck and get caught is they get stuck in kind of being a solo. Because there's fear around hiring other lawyers. There's kind of a not knowing, and we want to do things perfectly. And if we can't do it perfectly, we don't want to do it. And we get scared. And can I hire another lawyer? How will I pay them? Will they come in and judge me for my messiness? There's all kinds of thoughts that solos have that prevent them from sort of going to that next level. And so really, I'm working with women law firm owners to help them develop a strategy for scaling their law firm business to achieve the vision that they hold for themselves and what they want their business to do for them to really support the kind of life and lifestyle that they want.
Well, I just love it that the hyper focus, I guess, if you will, on figuring out who you can help, but narrowing that down and helping women specifically. And you know, there's lots of groups out there that just help lawyers or law firms
There's a reason.
Broad
there's-
sense, you know?
There's a reason why I chose that too, because I have worked with, I've had private clients over time. I've developed some group coaching programs, but I still have some private clients. And I did work with men some because certainly I had a lot of connections and colleagues who were male who were facing similar challenges. But for me, I felt like there, like you said, there were a lot of people out there who were sort of more generalist. Mm-hmm. And I also discovered when I started holding in-person trainings and workshops and seminars and things that the conversation was different when it was only women in the room than when it was a mix of men and women. And I absolutely love working with men, and I've had some great experiences with some male clients, but I feel like there was a real need here for at the time, because I've been doing this for 10 years now. And at the time there just weren't any coaches that were focused specifically on women law firm owners. And I think where women are different is, and this is changing some, but women primarily handle the mental load at home as well as work. And so we have to think differently about business. Also, you have a lot of women who are having children and raising young children, and they're out because they're going through pregnancy or giving birth or whatever, and it changes the trajectory of their career. And women have a tendency not to ask for help or get support. They, especially high achieving women, they've gotten to where they are because they've worked hard to get there. And working hard is not the thing that gets you to catapult you really to that next level. That's requires more than hard work. It requires a strategy and a different sort of approach. And I think women's solution oftentimes is, well, I'll just work harder. And it gets to a point where there's no more hours in the day for you to work harder. You need a different strategy. And so that's really why I kind of chose to support other women and be this place where they could be surrounded by other women on similar journey that they are.
I love it. I think it makes a ton of sense versus having a mixed group in the room. It definitely probably changes the dynamics, the questions, the, you know, the raising your hand for things that you need answers to. So it makes a lot of sense to me. And yeah, my wife definitely probably carries a heavier load at home than I do. God bless her. So I can understand that. So I just love kind of like, you know, the niche that you've come down into and how you're helping. I just had a woman attorney on prior to this recording, same day, probably released at a different time. But one of the things she said when I asked her at the end was, you know, a tip for other young attorneys. And going back to what you said a second ago, the solos and hiring that first person and kind of taking some of those next week steps, that was kind of what the question was around. But she said, you're going to fail at everything the first time, probably, right? Or not going to be a great outcome. And that could be your first hire. Like it could be the first agency you hire, the first coach you hire, the first everything you do probably won't be the best time or best way you do it. And so just move on, do it and get started, because you're going to learn. And that next employee might be twice as good as the first employee. You don't know what you don't know. And so I think one thing is going, hey, I'm going to go on my own. That's a huge step, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that. Like that's, you know, where I was when I was 23. But I think the more challenging thing is going, okay, I'm going to have someone else help me. I'm going to get a mentor and a coach, and I'm going to do this right. I think that is the most challenging, maybe not because it's harder to do, but it's the unknown. You don't even know what you don't know. They don't know you exist, right? They don't know this podcast exists. They don't know that there's so many great people out there in this legal space that would help them out if they asked. And so I just think that's a challenging point.
And I think nowadays there's a lot more resources than when I started, because when I was doing my own law firm, there were a couple of options for sort of coaching, but there were not as many as there are now. And I didn't have the awareness of them if there were, right? I knew of two or three, and it seemed something out of my realm, like something a larger law firm would do. And it took me, now I think we're seeing with social media and podcasting and all these things, a lot more people are coming out and serving lawyers and law firm owners and these audiences and women business owners. So there's certainly a lot more resources now. Just like you said, listening to podcasts alone will really shift your thinking and change your mind. But when you are a solo, it can feel very isolating. And you also, I think there's this idea when you go work for a big law firm, there's already a team and systems and a structure in place. And when you're a solo, it's incumbent upon you to create that if that's what you want. And the downside of sort of staying a solo is that you really are locked into how much money you can make is really dependent on the number of hours you can put in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, right? And you can't leverage that. There's just so much that you can do unless you start creating products or something like that. And then you need a big audience. But the other part is you can't leave that business. And I know some people who, even though they've hired other people, they still function as a solo because they never elevate to that managing partner mindset and thinking, that CEO level thinking. They still are having to grade papers. Everything that goes out of the office has to come by them first. They can't, you know, they've got to check everything. They don't trust anybody. And it's because they haven't set up structures and training for the people around them to support them. So they still are functioning as a solo, even though they may have a team. So when they try to go away for a vacation, they're constantly on the email, they're on the phone, they're texting. They can't let it go because they don't trust their team, because maybe they haven't done the right training, or they haven't hired the right people, or they don't have the right systems, or whatever it is. So you don't have to just be a solo lone warrior to be functioning as a solo and not functioning as a leader in your business. And that's really the transformation that we're helping our clients make, is moving from that solo way of thinking where more of my hard work is needed, and started to say, okay, instead of asking how, asking who, right? Who, not how, Dan Sullivan's book, if anybody hasn't read that. But really thinking to yourself, you know, what is my role here? My role here is to be a leader. Ultimately, that's what I want to be, is I want to be a leader, and I want to attract people who are galvanized around my mission, you know, who are excited about the kind of work that we do, and they want to be a part of this great business that we're growing. And how do I do that? Right.
No, that's spot on right there. I think, especially like you're saying, the acting as a solo, even once you've brought in some other folks, honestly, to tell you the truth, I think back, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, like where I might have had 10, 15 people, and still there was some degree of, you know, acting as a solo person. Like you got to be into everything. You got to check everything. You have to, you don't trust this.
Everybody got to run it by you.
Yep. Totally. So yeah, you could have a dozen people and still be that controlling. I would say, like, what you call it, you're the technician, right? You're the one that knew the work. That's why you started the law firm in the first place, because you like to do the work and you can do the work. And you got to get yourself out of that as fast as you possibly can, to some degree.
Right, right.
I know plenty of lawyers that still practice in huge firms, but they'll pick and choose.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? There's the pick and choose, right? So when we're owning a business, we're doing more than being a lawyer. If we go work for somebody else, we can be a lawyer, and that can be what we do. If we're owning a law firm, now we're saying, in addition to being a lawyer, I'm also going to be a business owner, an entrepreneur, a CEO, a managing attorney, whatever, all these roles, right? And so but if we do it right, we get to pick and choose what it is that we want to do. For some of my clients, they don't really want to do the day in and day out of being a lawyer anymore. They've done it for years. They don't love it as much, or maybe they only want to take certain types of cases. And for the regular, everyday, average things, they want a team running them. And then other people say, you know what, I love being a lawyer. What I really want is to have somebody come in here and help me with the administrative part. I need a chief operations officer, a firm administrator, or somebody who takes on that role. And some people will hire a managing attorney to sort of handle the lawyers and the cases and the flow of cases, and hire a COO to handle all the admin stuff. And then they're functioning as CEO. So there's a lot of different approaches that you could take based on what it is that you want. And I think that's really the key question when we're talking with law firm owners is, what is it that you want to do? Like, what is your perfect day look like on a work day, an ideal day? Some would tell you a perfect day is Bali, right? But they have a different vision for what they want their law firm to be. And some people love taking their laptop with them everywhere and working from anywhere in the world, you know, that lawyer on a beach concept or lawyer in the mountains concept or whatever. But I'm the kind of person that, like, my laptop stays home when I go on vacation. I want to completely check out. And so, you know, it's asking yourself, what is it that I want my life to look like? And have I created a business that supports the kind of life that I want for myself?
That's a good way to think about it right there. Otherwise, you're going to be just drowned by all the chaos.
Right.
You know, you got to step back and go, where do I want to be? Right.
Right.
And it's going to take some work to get there. Obviously, it's not overnight, depending on where you are. But yeah, I know I've had from firms on here that I've met. They have a COO, COO, CMO, CFO. Like, they just, I think they still practice and do what they want. But
yeah,
they have a full C-suite.
And I tell people, I said, you know, a lot of times, like, I think you can get into million, multi-million without a C-suite. I know you can.
Sure.
Because there is a formula for getting you into the money, right? But when you start looking at pulling yourself out of the business, you have to start being strategic about who's going to do those things if you're not going to do them. And that's where you start looking at, you know, your evolution, right? So you can make a lot of money without a C-suite, but how much of that, you know, how much of that are you still holding on to, right? And there are also steps to that, right? You might not need a COO. You might need an office manager, right? You might need a firm administrator. There might be things that you need before you get to a point where you need a COO, right?
And don't throw titles around.
Yeah. Fortunately, we have fractional services now, which, you know, is something kind of, you know, newish in the work world, where people can come in and say, well, we're an outside agency, but we can function as your chief marketing, you know, officer part-time, because we also have 10 other clients that we're doing it for. And that can help bridge a gap for a lot of people. And sometimes it could take you a really long way. So, you know, the vision doesn't have to be, I have a full C-suite and we've got offices all over the country and, you know, we have hundreds of people working for us, but it can be if that's what you want, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah. Fractional, yeah, CMOs, CFOs, CEOs. You know, there's a great gas where you don't need that person on your payroll, you know, and when you're throwing out titles like that, you know, there's going to be expensive folks to bring in house. So,
Right. And
then, you know, you got to think about too, you know, I know lots of firms that have neither one of those folks necessarily, but they're still 8-figure firms. They got there somehow. But you got to think about the culture and, you know, if you're the leader, the visionary of the business, are you going to kind of pull back from that a little bit and have, you know, these other folks come in to take the reins? You know, what's your role going to be if you had a CEO? You know,
right.
How do you make sure you're not stepping on each other's toes?
That is very important.
At Array, we have a president and I have my business partner who acts as CEO. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, how do we clearly define those roles? And we've had my president, who's like hiring and operations and all good stuff, he's responsible for the work we put out, you know, has had to kind of push my partner a little bit, say, hey, get out of the way. So you gotta think about that kind of stuff too, as you grow.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm digital marketing agency at ArrayDigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I will say my was my partner and I did some things really well. And one of the things that we did really well was we each sort of had certain responsibilities. So we kind of divvied it up. So we were making decisions together, but one or the other of us had to sort of be the last word on things. And we sort of divided up those areas. One of the mistakes I made is I still was doing too much. Like we really needed to, if I were to go back and do it again, I would definitely hire more people to take on some of the roles I was taking on instead of kind of getting into that overwhelm. But I didn't have mentors. I had attorneys who were mentors in subject matter, right? So they were helping me become a better lawyer, I didn't have any sort of mentoring or coaching in how to run a business. And I just kind of thought since I had been working for 15 years and all these professional services businesses, I would just know automatically how to run a business. That was my delusional thinking. And so it took a lot of education to sort of figure that out and go, okay, here's what I didn't know that I didn't know, like you said, right? And I tell people that if I could tell Davina back then anything, it would be like to ask for help and hire people to coach you and to help you, because then you can overcome this. Instead, I was like burnout. I let myself, I think I gained like 30 pounds. I'd go home every night and drink wine because I was so exhausted mentally and emotionally because I was trying to wear too many hats and be too many things to too many people. And if I had known, realized there were resources available for somebody to coach me and help me make those decisions I didn't even know that I needed to be making, we would have had a different outcome. Right.
Yeah. I mean, coaching has been a blessing for me and my partner and throughout, a lot of law firms that I know and a lot of folks that I've gotten to meet through this podcast and through the industry. There's a lot of great people out there, but you got to have a coach. You should always have a coach and reach out to different people for different subject matters. And you'd be surprised how many people just interested in help, mentor. There's plenty of coaching options out there. But I wanted to get into kind of your program. And for all my ladies out there listening in that, could use your help. But again, I know for me, coaching has been massive. But right before we jump into that, the one thing I think I thought about when you were talking a second ago was just knowing your numbers and, not knowing what you don't know. I was at a conference this weekend in Chicago and, know your numbers. Well, I got P&L. We work on it all the time. It's perfect until next month. And then we fix something and do something different. But knowing your numbers, to know what to do. And so one of the exercises we did was percentage of payroll to your revenue. And my percentage was off. I'm at 30%. It should be around 37% to 42% based on this exercise you're doing. So that means I should be hiring. Like we can bring in more staff, right? But how do you know that? I didn't know that. And so there's so much you can get from outside help that can look in that you can't see and say, hey, why is this way? Or why is that like that? Why didn't you hire this person over here? And so someone like a coach can help you identify those things and make these decisions quicker and get you to where you want to go so much faster.
It really is about your ability to move quickly. And when you're the CEO, and I think that's what is a contradiction a lot for lawyers, because as lawyers, we're taught to think like a lawyer, and thinking like a lawyer is analytical. It is thoughtful. It is thinking of everything that could go wrong because we're trying to prevent something going wrong for our clients. So we're trying to think of every eventuality so we can protect our clients from the worst of the worst, right? So then when we start applying that to our own business, this is the problem. We get into overthinking. Everything is on the same level of importance when it comes to making decisions about our business, because we're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to make any mistakes. I can't think through the eventualities of all of this. And so a lot of that is learning how to think like a CEO, which is moving a little bit more quickly, making an educated guess, taking some risks, taking some gambles, and instead of worrying about making the right decision, learning how to make those decisions right for you, right? Because ultimately every decision you make is leading you to where you are meant to be, and to get metaphysical on you. But we were talking about coaching, and I will say this, I've had a number of coaches. So I learned one thing from one coach and something else from another coach and something else from another coach. So that has been, they haven't all been at the same time, because I think it's a little hard to follow multiple people at the same time. But I've had my very first coaching experience was a large group coaching, kind of like what you see some of these programs. There's a lot of lights and music and you get excited and you sign up, you go to the sales call at the back of the room and you sign up. And I had that experience and I wasn't ready for that coaching program, but I learned a lot of, it changed me in a lot of ways, which is really what you're looking for is changes in you, because then that's going to help you grow your business, right? But that led me to a private coach, and that coach was a little bit more woo-woo, and it was what I needed at the time. I needed somebody to sort of let me, to get me to loosen my grip, my fear that things were going to go wrong, and my anxiety around making the wrong decisions. And, you know, here I was, this perfectionist lawyer who's overthinking everything. And so I got somebody who was like, okay, you know, we need to chill, right? And she gave me a lot of tools to use to help me manage my mindset. And then my next coach was somebody who really was a business person and somebody who really helped me kind of dial in on understanding leverage and the importance of leverage and different business principles, right? So it's not always, you know, just one and done kind of thing. You know, people have different, and then that doesn't even count all the people that I just listen to and follow through the years and get ideas from. So I think it's being open to those experiences and not being so focused on, you know, did I get the exact number of hours I was supposed to get and check this off? Did I have a transformation in that experience? Because every one of those coaching experiences, there were things I didn't get that I thought I was going to, but ultimately I got what I needed and didn't know that I needed.
That's a good point. When I first started my own business, I was pretty young, 23, 24. Well, I had rented a space from a gentleman that I met at a networking event a few times. And he's like, Kevin, I heard you looking for just a small office. So it's like, yeah. He's like, I got plenty of office space. You know, give me a couple $100 a month. You can, and he had like a beautiful class A building with conference rooms and kitchen. He's like, you have access to all that stuff,
nice.
But you know, get your little office. It's like, I felt like I was on top of the world. Anyway, so he was kind of like a mentor. I would talk to him about business. He had, you know, hundreds of employees, ran a financial planning company, and I actually ran into him not too long ago, Joe Counts, very successful. And one day I was in his office. So I was like, he's like, yeah, I'm hired. I need to find me a new coach. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, I always have a few coaches and I change them, or sometimes I have to find a new one. Like, I just get to a point where I need to explore something new. I was young, so I was just like, I never even had a coach for one. And so the concept was foreign to me. And here he is basically looking for another coach. And I was like, well, how's the one coach doing? Oh, they're great. They're awesome. But now I need the next step. I need something else that I don't have. And so I always held on to that and was like, okay, that's interesting.
That is interesting, right?
And he was paying thousands, you know, and I was at the time like, holy gosh.
Well, and it's mind blowing when you meet somebody who has, you know, 100 employees or whatever. And then you realize they have a coach. You're like, why do you need a coach? You already know what you're doing, because look at everything you're doing. But we know in the coaching world, when you have had a coach and when you coach others, you understand the value of having sort of that advisor who can give you a different perspective, a new way to think of things. It's really about being open-minded and saying, I don't have all the answers and I can't be the best person for every job in my business, because, you know, I'm not a bookkeeper. I worked as a bookkeeper once. I know I'm not a good bookkeeper. Like, I have to have a bookkeeper, right? But there's a little bit of hubris that comes along when you're highly educated and really intelligent lawyer. And you think to yourself, but if I could do everything, if I just had enough time, I could figure it out if I just had enough time. Well, here's the secret. You're never going to have enough time. And also, you're probably not the best person for every job in your business. In fact, you're probably the best person for maybe one job in your business, maybe two jobs in your business. And then there's somebody else out there who is smarter, better, faster than you are. And that's okay. Like, don't be threatened by that. Invite that in to say, you know, I really want the best team. I really want other people, other brains in here besides mine, because while, you know, I may be a really smart person, I know there are other people out there who are really, you know, much better in what it is. I'm a professionally trained copywriter. I have a writing degree. And one of the dangers is if you're good at something, you tend to do it because you're good at it. But I hire copywriters. I spend a lot of money on copywriters. I hire copywriters for different aspects of copy because there are people that are passionate about it who love it. I just met with somebody and we were talking about emails and she goes, I love to write emails. I'm like, oh, good, because I'm over it, right? And so even though I'm really good at it, I'm always looking for people who are better than me because, you know, we're always working on the marketing and that's not what I want to be doing in my business. I want structures and support set up to help me with the marketing aspect of my business. And I think that's where you need to be honest with yourself that there are other people who are better than you and you really don't need to take the time to learn how to use WordPress. Just hire somebody to do your website, right? Like that's the truth of it.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm at the point where I don't want to be the best at anything. Like just... I love when I find someone like, man, they're really good at that. Awesome. You know, bring them on board and let's see their work. And
yeah, you want to be the best at attracting the best people, you know, and whether that's, and I often tell people like, we get the idea around our marketing and we want to attract our ideal client. Everybody's heard client avatar, ideal client, want to attract our ideal client. And so once people wrap their mind around, they're like, okay, great. We're going to put this message out. We're going to attract our ideal client. But we never think to ourselves, well, we need to attract our ideal employees, our ideal team. Mm. How do we do that? What is the way that we can automate that process and attract those people and putting more thought in it instead of just like waiting for that, you know, person to answer our ad? And this is our choice in the world. Is this two people who answer our ads? Do I want A or B? We don't think, well, what other ways can we be attracting people to us?
Oh yeah, that's huge. I mean, if you have the right culture and that's under control and you're attracting the right people, scaling and growing and more clients is a walk in the park if you can get that figured out.
What do you think? I'm curious, what do you think like was a key linchpin for you guys in creating the culture that attracts people to work for you?
That's a good question. So at first, backing up, and I know you have a meeting here soon, so we'll try to be quick. I mean, for us, it was like a lot of things we're talking about. Like we didn't think a mission statement or core values or any of the stuff. We just thought it was fluffy stuff. Like no one cares. No one's going to read it. So we skip it because we're just business owners. We want to roll and move forward. And that's right. No one cares. And it took groups that we were in and mentors and coaches and things like that to say, hey, why you guys don't have this? Well, we kind of have it in a document somewhere. And
yeah.
And again, I just didn't think it mattered. Who cares? Like, you know, that's emotional stuff. Who cares? Let's just make money. Let's go.
Ooh, feelings.
We had to step back and go, okay, let's go through this exercise. And we put time into it. And it became like a passionate project for me and my partner, like to where we worked on it for years, like making it a little bit better and adjusting them. And they haven't changed in probably 5-6 years. But we have core values. We have our mission. We have our vision. My whole team knows everything through and through. The core values are used on a daily basis for kudos points to the team peer shared. And we recognize monthly winners with bonuses, quarterly winners with like really expensive like trophies that get shipped off to them where they are. So it's just worked into what we do now so much so that it's clear. There's a clear vision.
Right.
They know what leadership, they know me and my partner through and through, who we are.
And you can tell you can tell when people come in to interview with you, if they're aligned with your values or not, because it's just so intrinsic now in the organization that when somebody comes and interviews with you, you're like, yeah, this person's not going to fit. And I can identify the piece that's missing, right? Whether Absolutely. That's you know, integrity or excellence or whatever it is, right? So
skill is like the lowest thing. We don't care. You know, skill is maybe how we find someone originally, but then they're not hired on skill necessarily at all. So
yeah.
And then I don't interview anybody at this point, but my team will not let anyone through the door that messes with that culture because it messes right. with them. And so that's when you know that's you got excellent. It good. Now, you know, growing it, scaling it, it's a different story, but important things. So, but the last few minutes we have, I just wanted to, you know, again, how can people best connect with you? You know, what kind of your ideal client for you would be that might be listening out there or someone can refer you?
Yeah. I love to work with women law firm owners, as we've talked about. And really we're looking at not people who are probably just starting out or thinking it, although there's certainly, you know, some tools available for them, but really those who are, they've started their business, they've been scaling that six-figure ladder and they're functioning kind of as a solo. And even if they've hired some people, they're struggling to sort of get to that next level. And what it takes to get to six figures or multiple six figures is different than what it takes to get to seven figures. And so we're really looking for those. I do have some clients who come to me, they've started out at seven figures. They're at seven figures. Maybe they're in a field like personal injury where a couple of big cases, you're at seven figures, yeah. but they don't have the structure in place for a law firm business that they can leave without worrying something is going to fall fall through the cracks. And that is leave for vacation, long vacations, leave for to take care of a family member, leave if you're ill, like all the things, right?
The lunch.
And so it's really about creating that infrastructure so that you have a business entity, a wealth generating machine that operates without your day-to-day involvement. And that's the kind of clients that I like to help. And we do that through private coaching and through group coaching programs. So there's something for sort of everyone, no matter, like if there's some people who are already a million or closer to a million and already have some things in place, then they might be more a better fit for sort of the private coaching. That's a more custom experience. And then some who are just kind of climbing that 60-figure ladder and they're not yet at the half million, they're needing some support. The group coaching program is great for that. You still get weekly interaction with me. So it's not something like you hire me and then I just send you off in a corner to do the homework. So those are the options. And thank you for asking.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have a great program, very focused. So my women lawyers out there, reach out, connect with her. And she's got a quiz on her website that you can take to kind of figure out what's going to be best for you. But, you know, wrapping up is, yeah, you can go over 6-7 figures real quick and easy and have no infrastructure. I see that all the time. Or you can stay in 6 figures for 10, 20 years and never break that ceiling. So we need help, people. I did. I've hired tons of coaches and experts, and that's what it took. So reach out, connect. If you got any questions, please ask me. If you want me to connect you to, I'm happy to do that. Davina, thank you so much for sharing today. Great conversation, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Kevin. It's been my pleasure.
All right, everyone, get out there, grow your law firms. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to arraydigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for sharing.